Hi, I'm Larry Lieberman. Welcome to Inside Windows Phone. This week, we're excited to bring you Jeff Wilcox, software developer on the Windows Phone team. Before we get going, though, I just want to mention we're really excited. Last week, we were in London at Nokia World. Nokia announced their two new Windows Phone, the Nokia Lumia 800 and the Nokia Lumia 710. Really excited to see these phones. They're new. They're among the best Windows phones that we've seen so far. With that said, though, there's a lot of information on those phones elsewhere that you can look at, and we'll put links to that here on this page. But let's get into our talk today with Jeff, because Jeff has been doing a lot of exciting things with the phone. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do?
Yep. So my name is Jeff Wilcox, and I'm a software engineer on the Windows Phone team, and I used to work on Silverlight. And over the last year, I've helped a lot of people in their applications.
Okay.
So all the big apps, really, it feels like.
But you wrote a big app on your own.
I did.
Okay. So, I mean, I guess you wanted to know what people were going through.
Definitely. And it's actually been a great experience. You know, I wanted to build an app from the start, actually ship the app and see what people think. And so I built a Fourth and Mayer app, is what I call it.
Fourth and Mayer.
Fourth and Mayer.
Okay.
And it's a Foursquare app.
So okay.
It lets you check into restaurants and into work and places.
Wow. So what made you come up with this idea for this app? I mean, how did you think of it? What was your inspiration?
Well, Foursquare I've been using for a long time, back when I used a different kind of phone.
Mm-hmm.
And on the Windows Phone, I just felt like I could have a much better Foursquare experience. And so
okay.
I said, hey, I want to build one. And it just seemed like the right kind of problem.
Do you want to walk us through your application a little bit and show us what you did?
Yeah, sure thing. I have to run it through the emulator, though.
Okay. Well, it's lucky that we have such a great emulator in our tools.
It is great.
You can get our tools at create.msdn.com. If you haven't downloaded them yet, I highly recommend it.
So one of the nice things in Mango, of course, is the emulator now. So I can actually go ahead and I can move right into a specific place to simulate the GPS.
So it always starts in the Seattle area, I've noticed.
It does.
As a Microsoft person, I do realize that the universe revolves around the Seattle area.
Yes. So right now, you can see that I have some friends here,
mm-hmm.
and most of them are checked into Microsoft buildings, and I'd like to check into one here, too.
Okay.
So I just press, and it kind of loads all the places near me. And so I'm going to check into building 40, or building 20. That's where we are right now.
Okay.
It gives you some information. There's two people here right now, some information about the place. And I can go ahead and just say they'd like to check in. I'll tell people on Twitter about it. I'll go ahead and just say I'm live. And then I check in. And the nice thing about Foursquare, they give you points. They're saying I have a nice check-in here.
And you're getting this all from the API. You're pulling out the feed that comes back when you check in.
Yep, and Foursquare controls that, so I'm just a client-side application. But I did a lot of work here to kind of make what I think is a really good Windows Phone experience.
Wow, I'm still beating you on Foursquare,
yep.
I noticed there. You know, I had a good week in London last week.
You had a lot more fun than I did, I think. But, yeah, so this is just kind of the basic app experience.
Okay.
But there's plenty more, you know. I can go in, and I can see where I currently am.
And this
in
is Silverlight map control here?
This is the Bing Maps control.
Okay.
Yep. Other experiences from the main page, I can see kind of like a map view. And so this is
Ooh.
Everyone, all my friends here.
I didn't even know this had this.
This is in the new version that comes
okay.
out soon. But here you can see that, you know, there's various friends here at the Microsoft campus.
Mm-hmm.
It's a nice way to kind of see who's in the area. I can also see, you know, hey, what's a trending place? What are some popular buildings right now? I want to find a restaurant. There's just lots of stuff built into this. So it's kind of like local scout in that way.
So for the person who hasn't built a Silverlight application, I think it would be real interesting to walk through some of the steps you go through in optimizing your app. And, I mean, where are the places in the UI here where you had to think extra hard about the performance?
Right. Well, I definitely love performance.
Mm-hmm.
I
know you've done several talks. We'll link to them on this page, actually, if you're interested.
Yeah, the biggest challenge seems to be lists.
Okay.
So here, if you look at the screen, it's a very complicated list. I have, you know, pictures of people. I have text about where people are.
Okay.
And
so you've custom templated this list
yes.
in Silverlight.
Yep. And every new little list item adds complexity.
Mm-hmm.
And so this template has about 60 elements in it.
Okay.
And it's actually probably the largest template I would have. And even then, I have challenges.
Does that complexity then impact the performance substantially?
Yes, it does. And so you can see here that I actually don't...
But it seems to move, really. I mean, I guess we're looking at the emulator is the thing to keep in mind here.
That's true. But also, you'll notice that here, I don't actually show images.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's only when I stop scrolling, I actually will load images in. And so that makes a big performance improvement. And then also, it's just kind of managing kind of what shows up on the UI. And so I had to do some thinking of just how complicated to really make it. And I just kind of scoped it down until it was fast.
Cool.
Now, another thing performance-wise, just to point out since we're in Visual Studio here.
Better turn this off.
So if you look at my project,
yep.
I have a ton of assemblies here, just a ton. And it's actually a performance win when you break your app into smaller chunks.
Because it only needs to load them when it's necessary.
Right. And so I have a lot of extra features here that I know that people don't use as often. So all the features for showing the maps, that's actually not loaded at startup. It's only loaded when you use the feature. And so this actually took my startup time from what used to be over a second to down to about 600 milliseconds.
That's amazing.
So big win, for sure.
How do you make that decision about when to break something out or not? Is it just based on the usage and the use cases?
Like, yep. Well, so this is a refactored version. So okay. When I started out, it was all one assembly, like most apps. Mm-hmm. And then I just wanted to make it faster.
What are the downsides of doing this, though? Are there any sizes?
I don't think there's too much. There's a little bit of complexity when you're linking to the pages that you have to link to a different assembly.
Okay.
But it's just extra XAML. It's pretty easy. And then I also have analytics in my app. And so I know exactly which parts of the app people don't use.
Wow.
So I have a page that says it's all about my app. You know, it's required for the marketplace that I have support information and other details. But like 0.05% of users have used it. So I don't need to have that loaded default.
Okay.
And so
all
that's what this about assembly. It's separate. It's just loaded when you need it.
So you've separated your application out using something like MVVM or?
A little bit.
Sort of used it where it made sense.
It started as a prototype, and so I've been refactoring as I go.
Okay.
Sure. Yeah.
All right. Do you want to walk us through like just how you implemented things here or like step by step or when I launch your app, where am I going to go in your code?
Yep. Well, when you launch the app, I do have a single code path
okay.
for everything. It's called Foursquare app right here.
Okay.
And right here, I go ahead and I load all the data I need to.
This is the class that starts things off.
Exactly. And so I have a very typical startup routine where I start doing some work.
Mm-hmm.
I enable push notifications, a lot of cool little technical things.
Do you have those executed in your new app?
They're
coming soon.
Yes. Yeah, it's been a long process. But yeah, I do a lot of other things in here. One of them is actually I nag users mm-hmm. to review my app.
That's a great idea.
Yep. And so
I guess it always helps to ask people to rate your app. Do you do it on a periodic basis, or do you do it on usage, or?
I do it based on once they use maybe the app 20 times.
Okay.
And the reason is I figure if someone doesn't like the app, they'll just use it once.
Right.
I'll never ask them to review it.
So you have a counter that's firing in the background every time they launch the app, and
yep.
it reaches a certain point.
And then here it just prompts up with a message box saying, "Would you care to review?" And so it's really simple.
And then use the Marketplace Launcher to get to the actual review page for your app,
yep.
right?
And it's like two lines of code. It just launches the Marketplace.
Fantastic. So.
And then other features, I also do check for updates. So if you've updated, I actually show you what the new features are.
Did you have to implement a server app to do that?
This one, no.
Okay.
I do have a server that stores information about
like
the new
build. Like
a
page that you've got on a server somewhere.
Then
you check to see if there's a higher number on it or not.
That's one.
Okay.
And then also every time you run the app, I track the version you use.
Okay.
And so if it changes, I know that you upgraded.
Ah.
So I can either run update code then or I can show you the new features.
Wow. So that's pretty smart.
Yeah, I like it.
So what else? What else are you doing?
Oh, another thing I have is crash detection.
Okay.
And on that,
do you send the dump back then? Like if people...
So if there's an unhandled exception, I actually save it really briefly
mm-hmm.
when it exits. And then the next time you run the app, I ask you if you want to send it to me.
Okay.
And so I get lots of really good bug reports.
I guess there's a privacy consideration there.
Yeah, and that's why I want to give them the choice.
Okay. And that impacts all your analytics, probably.
It does.
There's somewhere... Do you prompt people about analytics in general in your app?
Yep, I actually do, and I had a post about this. Some people think you shouldn't prompt, but
mm-hmm.
I try to respect people's privacy. And
well, I think you're supposed to on the marketplace.
Yes, definitely.
There's certain of the certification requirements about that specifically. We'll link to them on this page.
Yep, so here in the settings, you see that I can turn on and off the location service.
Yes.
I can do the same for push notifications.
Which you're not really using yet, though, right? Or you...
Some of my friends have it turned on. I'll
okay.
turn on your account.
Okay, so. That'd be great.
Then down here, there's an option for send usage and crash reports. So I can turn that off. And by default, it's off. They have to opt into it.
All right.
But I really like the data. It's really helpful.
So I noticed everything's really lined up here. I mean, what are you on the form?
Yes, I'm big into the design for Windows Phone. It's just very simple as a developer.
I know you did a post on design for developers, like trying to just do the top things people should know. And we'll link to that here because I think it's actually a fantastic... set of principles around, what is Metro? I think there's a lot of confusion about what Metro is.
Right. Well, I think what you can see here is everything's aligned on the left.
Yeah.
And I think alignment's very important.
And there's something about 12 pixels, which is pretty magic, right?
Yes, 12's the magic increment.
Okay.
So you'll see in my XAML, I also often have 12 or 24.
So we had a conversation just the other day with some of the designers about some of these things. They're working on some training, which we will share with you when we are able. Designers, you know, were talking about this, and I think you like took some action on this, right?
Yeah. Turns out they have a grid that they use, that they overlay when they're like in Photoshop or something doing design work, and it's just this really simple grid. You know, it's offset by 24 pixels, kind of that magic number,
right?
And it lets you really see alignment and kind of the blockiness of the UI.
And you built something for people to use.
Yep.
On NuGet.
I did. Yep. So I have a post. We can link to that as well.
Okay.
But it's this nice grid helper, and it's just one little line of code. I think I already have it commented out.
Okay. Right next to where you've got your analytics being done there too.
Yep. This is where I hook up analytics and like the visualizers. This is my startup path. Yep. And so I'm just adding designer grid, saying it's visible.
You could even add it, you know, conditional on the debugger too,
I suppose. Yeah. You wouldn't want to ship the application.
Right.
I'll try not to launch an update now.
But I think the general pattern you recommend would be to do it if the debugger's attached.
Definitely. And so right here you can see it's the same app, the same experience, and it might be kind of hard to see.
It's a little hard to see on this particular page. And maybe it has to do with the color on the screen. It may not look as bad on the feed.
I can actually give a quick... you can actually change the color on this.
Okay.
So I can set it to be blue. Maybe. This is always fun. Coding live. And then I can change the opacity to make it much darker.
Got it.
So let's see if this helps.
That's a pretty powerful tool.
Yeah, it's really simple too.
Uh-oh.
All right, well.
Got a break there.
That's embarrassing.
That's okay.
That's why it's a demo. So
yeah.
Good things happen.
It happens to everyone. Chris Capicella had it happen on stage. So.
That's more of a challenge.
That's true.
Let me just try one last time here.
And?
This is your laptop. I blame that.
It must be my laptop. And so we'll blame it on the laptop. We'll link people to the grid. It definitely works. We saw it work the first time.
Yes, works great.
And it's a really powerful tool to help you lay out the design of your page, because only when you look at, you know, tools like this are incredibly important in seeing how controls are laid out in your page and following the guidelines of Metro. We'll link to a presentation that Brian Agneta did at Build about Metro in general, because I think there are a lot of principles there that are great, and Jeff's post on that as well. Beyond the design, though, what do you think are the most important things people need to think about when designing their application for Windows Phone?
Honestly, I think a lot of it's just actually using the phone.
Mm-hmm.
And just, I've honestly tried quite a bit to, you know, just mimic the phone. And it's just keep it simple, use large sizes of fonts, try to use the styles
large
that we
sizes,
provide.
I think that's actually a big deal because, and oftentimes the words are going to be a target for touching.
Right.
And if there's nothing I hate more than an application, which is a great application, and then there's tiny, tiny words that you have to click on to go do something.
Yep.
And I see that far too often.
Well, if I run the app really quick here, I actually use hyperlink buttons everywhere.
Oh, really? You just template them?
Yep. And so almost everything's a hyperlink button. But when I go to a page...
That gives you a lot of functionality for free.
It does. It's one line of code. And so this is a hyperlink button.
Wow.
Right here that you can touch.
That's a great tip.
But important is you can notice that I can actually touch to the right as well.
Mm-hmm.
You can touch anywhere on that line. And so it's a big area for...
You increase the touch target.
Yes.
Is there any sort of guideline around how big a touch target should be for the size of the average finger, or is there...
I've heard numbers kind of passed around, but I don't know them. I think it's usually something like 20 pixels is a good number to overhang.
As large as you think the touch target should be, need to make it bigger. I guess that's the guidance that we'd give.
Yeah.
Any other things before we wrap up?
I wanted to show you that I found actually my icons a very big, important thing.
Okay. And yeah, so, you actually had a couple slides that you were...
Yeah, I just had very basic slides here just saying that I have had a lot of uses of the app, and that's because of analytics that I know that. It's great that knowing it's been run that many times, and so it helps me find bugs.
I like the crown. I think the crown is a nice addition.
Yeah, so the mirror crown is new.
Yeah.
And here's what the icon used to look like. So the first version,
it's
kind of
stylistic.
It is, but it just didn't really fit in the phone as much. So I feel like this one, I've gotten a lot of people raving about it. So I feel good about that.
That's pretty cool.
And then the other two things I did want to share, at least, were the components I use.
Okay.
So right. Of course,
so we all need to build on the backs of others.
Yes, yes.
Standing That's right. On top Great of programming is about stealing, really.
Borrowing.
Borrowing, please, yes. Yes.
I actually have shared a lot of these components on my blog as I built my app. So that's one good place. That's what my awesome controls are.
So everyone should be aware of the Silverlight for Windows Phone Toolkit, because even though it exists as a separate package from our actual platform components in the tools, I actually think they are part of our official components that we ship. And in fact, ideally, they would be part of that same install, and maybe we'll be able to do something there at some point. But having them separate gives us the flexibility to revise them in a more aggressive manner than we can revise the tools. But they're all being done by folks internally, like Jeff. Yep. So you know, you should definitely investigate these. There's lots of controls there that you can use. The animations are in there. And this gives you access to many of the look and feel pieces of the OS that you wouldn't otherwise get.
Yep, and that's actually what I use for my animations, is the toolkit. And so I heard someone say recently a new version's coming out soon.
Wow. So. Well, we'll definitely be on the lookout for that.
And that's nice because, you know, again, those guys are fixing a lot of bugs.
So what's AgFX? Can you tell us quickly about that?
Yeah, that's something that someone else at Microsoft built. His name's Sean Burke.
Sean Burke? I think we know Sean Burke.
Yeah, he used to run the Silverlight Toolkit, and this is a component that I use for all my data with Foursquare. Mm-hmm. And so to kind of simplify my code, I know that I can cache information.
Okay, so this gives you some rich caching functionality.
And yeah, but the thing that's really cool is all I do in my app is I say I'd like to get information about a place. Mm-hmm. And then this framework decides whether it goes to the Foursquare server or if it goes to the cache.
Oh, wow.
And it might even grab the cache and then all of a sudden, you know, go ahead and just refresh it after the cache. So you'll see the UI immediately, mm-hmm. and then it'll refresh with new data.
Simply all being handled in the background by this magic piece that you don't have to think about.
And once you build these components up, you can kind of hook it into your view model with one line of code. So it's very nice.
Yeah. And Jeff Wilcox's awesome controls.
Yes.
What are these, pray tell?
These are more prototyping controls, but very important.
Okay.
And so I have components like awesome image.
Are these publicly available?
Some are.
Okay.
So I slowly am preparing them, and then I blog the ones that are ready.
All right.
And I would feel bad giving horrible versions to people.
Well, we should definitely link to the ones that you have available for folks.
And I'd also loop in like the grid helper and allow this stuff into that.
Got it. Yeah. I wasn't aware that you had some other controls that you've done.
Yeah, I do. So.
Wow. Well, before we wrap up for today, though, I wanted to ask you, you know, what third party, what other applications do you like on the phone? Which do you think are examples of good design and execution?
Right. Well, there's definitely a lot of choices. Mm-hmm. There's a really cool one that everyone's always talked about. It's called Cocktail Flow.
Wow, I think we've talked about Cocktail Flow on this
Probably.
Show quite a bit. I saw the Cocktail Flow guys at Nokia World. They were there in full force, you know, supporting the launch of the new phones.
Yeah. It's a really nice UI. They use things very well. It seems really well designed.
And you like to drink a lot of cocktails, I imagine.
This is true as well.
Yeah. I know you're a bachelor, so.
Yeah. And then the other one that I like, there's a new one actually coming out that I saw this weekend.
Okay.
And it's the Sounders team here in Seattle, so I love going to the soccer games.
Wow. Well, soccer is bigger than ever, I think.
It's
huge here in Seattle right now.
Yeah. And it's nice because they have actually UI that doesn't look like my app, for example.
Okay.
So they have they obviously know how to design apps.
They've executed Metro, but in their own way.
Yeah, definitely. And it still looks beautiful. It has the branding of the Sounders. And
I think that's really true of Cocktail Flow, too. They leverage Metro. They follow the principles, but it has a unique look and feel. And so that's the beauty of, one of the beauties of Metro is the ability to customize it in this way.
Yeah.
Great. Well, I think that's about, and is anything else you wanted to talk about? I think we're just about done for today. This is Larry Lieberman here with Jeff Wilcox for Inside Windows Phone. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks.